It's Sunday, the 20th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Royal Ivy. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and at Never Wore Coogee. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, just leave a review on iTunes, just like at Never Wore Coogee did, and you can be a sponsor. It is very, very straightforward, so thank you to everyone who's done that. It is really amazing to get everyone doing all the reviews on iTunes and getting all you people out there. Liking the show. That's basically what it is. Leave a review. You mean you like the show. And I didn't even think when I started this podcast I'd have 10 people who listen to it and like it. So the response has been overwhelming over the last couple of years. And thanks to all you guys for doing that and help push it out to people. It's been tremendous. All right. We're here still in the bowels of hell. It is approximating 1 million degrees at the moment in Red Rock HQ. You can probably see the visible beads of sweat on my head as we're recording this. Again, the usual disclaimers come out for anything hallucinatory that I happen to say due to being overheating. So,
let's get to it.
I agree. The monstrous line of the night. John Wall of the Washington Wizards. He played 42 minutes against the Charlotte Hornets, went for 27 points, hit a couple of threes, which seems to be his new thing these days. 4 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals, and a block on 10 of 21 shooting, and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Yes, he had 8 turnovers. You know my disdain for turnovers, so I'm not too concerned there. Remember at the start of the season that everyone was hating John Wall and didn't like what he was doing? Why did I waste a second round pick on this bum? Blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. Well, he's actually up to rank 11 on the season. He's a comfortable top 10 head-to-head player. He's at 20 points, 9 assists, over 2 steals a game, at 45% and 78% from the line. He's also actually hitting 1.5 threes a game, which is not something that you banked on when drafting John Wall. He's never been a 3-point shooter, really. He had one season where he was at 1.3. No other season has he been over 1. He's hitting them with much more regularity at the moment. He's shooting 35% from 3 as well. He's just, after that really, really slow start, has turned it on and is looking... Well, the Wizards clearly need him to. He's looking really, really good, and you're pretty happy with that draft pick of where you grabbed him. I know I grabbed him inside the first round in one of my leagues, and I'm pretty happy with it now. It wasn't looking so good to start the year, but it's trending definitely in the right direction. That's exactly what you want to see, and it's another one of those great examples of don't get too bogged down or worried by the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. Remember how he was struggling? Klay Thompson was struggling. Yeah, some guys might struggle and never recover, but it gets amplified so much at the start of the season that we forget that 3 weeks later they're going to be back into the top 10 or back into the top 20, and you'll never have to worry about that sort of issue again. So John Wall is the monstrous line of the night. We're going to look at the waiver wire line of the night, and we're going to go to his teammate, Jared Dudley, who's only owned in 4% of leagues, which is understandable because he was demoted out of the starting lineup for the last game, back into it for this one. And it wasn't because Otto Porter was out. They just moved Chris Humphries back to a bench role, which makes more sense. Don't know why they did that switcheroo in one game. It was a little bit of a weird scenario. Dudley played 41 minutes, went 19-9, had 3 triples, 4 assists, and 2 steals on 7 of 10 shooting. This is a very typical, well, it's not a typical Jared Dudley line, but it's a line that we've seen him do plenty of times. Get really hot with the shooting, he grabs some rebounds, and he's putting up some really nice numbers. He's actually a top 90 player over the last 2 weeks. At 10.5 points, 2 threes, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 steals on 52% shooting. He's a guy who can give you threes, but does it at a fairly efficient rate. And if he's going to get 30 minutes a night, which is not guaranteed by any stretch, he has back-end 12-team league value. Not a must-own guy by any stretch of the imagination, but there is enough there with Jared Dudley where you can look at him and go, yeah, okay, I can get something out of him. I can get those couple of threes at a pretty efficient rate, but he's never going to be a guy that pushes himself into the top 50 or anything like that. So you're not adding him hoping for a big breakout or anything along those lines. speaking of big breakouts, the young gun of the night, Bobby Portis of the Chicago Bulls, played 23 minutes, went for 20 and 11. He hit 2 threes and 2 steals. I've spoken about this guy a lot in the preseason especially and loved what he can do, his fantasy game, but the minute crunch is going to hurt him. Now, he got 22 minutes here with Pau Gasol sitting out, so that's why he got the big minutes. A trade could definitely clear up some space for him to work in, but this is a real anomaly of a game. No Gasol, coming off a quadruple overtime game on the road back-to-back, so even the guys that did play played limited minutes, and that allowed Portis to get time. Now, we've heard time and time again Fred Hoiberg is singing his praises. He's going to play important minutes for this team down the stretch. He's going to be a big part of things. When's that going to be? I don't know. I don't think this is necessarily, yeah, this is it. This is Bobby Portis' time. It started. But it could be. I don't think that's the case. I think he goes back to being basically unused until some sort of trade happens. He's got a tremendous fantasy game. He legit could be a top 60 player if he played 30 minutes a night. I've got no doubt about that. He's an extreme hustle player. He's going to hit threes, get steals, get blocks, score, and get rebounds. He's going to do quite a lot of things. But the minutes are going to be the concern. And we've already seen Nikola Mirotic being smashed with the minutes restrictions in the Chicago front court. And that's going to affect Portis. Now, I had a few questions of people. Do I stash Bobby Portis? I don't think that's... Look, maybe in a weekly league, you can do it. In a roto league, I can understand it. In a daily changes head-to-head league, you can't take that burden on. Because it's just not going to work out for you in the short term. A trade might not happen for 2 months. Then if one of these guys goes, like Gibson or Noah, then Portis still has to compete with Gasol, Gibson, and Mirotic. So it's not like he just moves straight into a starting role in 30 minutes or anything like that. He's going to be more of a deeper league guy. You can stash in like a 16-team league, absolutely, but any 10s or 12s or even 14-team leagues, it doesn't appear to be... I'm not doing it. I'm not even... approaching doing it. I don't think he's been picked up in any of my leagues apart from the really deep leagues that I'm playing in. His per 36 numbers are incredible though. 30 points, 11 rebounds, 1.5 threes, 2.2 steals, 0.7 blocks on 51% shooting. He's only a 50% shooter from the free throw line, but I don't imagine that's gonna stick at that level. He is a better shooter than that. He just looks good when he gets out there. The opportunity is going to be the concern. The other thing we need to look at is he's shooting 50% from three this season. Yes, on limited attempts, but that's probably not going to hold. He's not going to be a 50% shooter from three, I'm pretty confident. But very good to get him out there. Very intriguing to see him play. And interesting to see what the Bulls do. I'm so not for Taj Gibson in this rotation. I don't want him in the rotation. I want Mirotic to get those minutes. Just play Mirotic, Gasol, Noah and Portis. That's what I want. But I don't see Portis getting enough minutes, getting 25 minutes a night to be relevant enough this season. Might happen, but not banking on it happening anytime soon. The dud of the night, we're going to stay with the same team, the Chicago Bulls and Derrick Rose. Played 21 minutes, which is interesting because before the game, Hoiberg said, Rose and Butler, they're not going to have any minutes restrictions. So Rose played 21. If that's not a minutes restriction, I don't know what is. And Jimmy Butler played 33, which is down from his usual 38, coming off that big game. And it's totally understandable. I mentioned it on yesterday's podcast. Do not look at these Bulls guys for DFS, their regular starters, because they're going to have minutes lopped off their total. You know, Gasol didn't play. Rose lost 12 minutes. Butler lost 5 or 6 minutes. They just weren't going to be able to play big minutes because of what they did the night before. But don't go out and say, there's no minutes restriction, then play in 21 minutes. Because there was obviously some sort of plan to not play him his regular allotment of playing time. 6 points for Rose, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 of 10 shooting. Missed his only free throw. Not a very good night from Derrick Rose at all. Still think he should be owned in most standard leagues. It just really depends on your team. You need to be not even able to absorb his field goal percentage. You should basically be punting that field goal percentage because he has not been good in that area at all to date. The daily fantasy value play of the day was Jared Dudley as well. At 3,600, he popped up 39.8 points. All right, let's take a look at these box scores now in a little bit more detail. Bring that up for you guys on the screen. There you go. And let's start talking. The first game of the night was Los Angeles Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just a smashing, a 40-point drubbing by the Thunder. And this was something we spoke about yesterday. It was a chance at, for Daily Fantasy. The Thunder guys' minutes were going to be so low that they weren't going to be able to retain value. Now, I didn't think that this game would be that much of a blowout. You can't ever predict a 40-point thrashing. But once the game was out of hand, the stars all sat. Let's start with the Lakers, though. Lou Williams played 27 minutes and had 20 points with 4 triples and 3 steals. At this point, he has to be owned everywhere. D'Angelo Russell went 12-7-5, while Jordan Clarkson went 15-4. Byron Scott also meted out his minutes with no one getting over 30 in this one. Kobe Bryant sat this one out as well with a sore shoulder. He said he's going to be right to play for Tuesday. Larry Nance got another start at power forward over Julius Randle, played 22 minutes, while Julius Randle played 26. 2 points and 7 boards for Randle, 2-4 for Nance. Nance has no real fantasy appeal, and Randle has limited fantasy appeal, especially in this sort of role. Anthony Brown got the start in place of Kobe. He played 27 minutes and had 4 triples. We're not seeing Meta World Peace, who we saw at the start of the season when Kobe sat out. So we're going with Anthony Brown, which is a better option. Get the rookie out there. He had 2 steals, but he has very limited appeal. And Roy Hibbert, a nice 2 steals and 2 blocks, but when you pair it with 2 points and 3 rebounds, not the greatest night from him. On to the Thunder, Durant 22-8 and Westbrook 13-11 assists. They played limited minutes. They didn't have to really exert themselves here at all. So we saw some minutes go to some guys who don't normally play. Cam Payne got 6 points, 3 assists, and 3 steals in his 10 minutes. He's a guy that has to be owned in all dynasty leagues. It might be 2 or 3 years, but you could be looking at a top 50 player from him once he finally gets going. Enes Kanter, 19-14 in 23 minutes with a block and great percentages. Exactly what we know he can do when he gets playing time. That is going to be the problem with him clearly, though. Steve Adams went 10-7 in 25 minutes, and Serge Ibaka 12-7 with a couple of threes. But unfortunately, he went blockless. We also had Steve Novak get on the court. So he's the human victory cigar here. 6 minutes for Steve Novak for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The next game is the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards. Nick Batum returned from his illness, played 32 minutes, and was fantastic. 14-6-8, 3 steals and a block, while Jeremy Lin continued his great run. He played 36 off the bench, 15-6-7 with a couple of threes. He has played himself into a 30-minute role off the bench. I think he has to be owned in 12-team leagues. It has reduced Jeremy Lamb's output to almost nothing. 12 minutes for Lamb, 9 points, 4 rebounds. I think it goes without saying we don't need to worry about Jeremy Lamb in standard leagues. PJ Harrison's getting a little bit better. 10 points with 2 triples in 19 minutes. Now, his minutes are probably not going to approach mid to high 20s. But deeper league guys, he's playing a little bit better. Kemba Walker, 18 points, 2 assists and 3 steals. Not a bad night there. And Cody Zeller got 26 minutes, 11-7 with a steal and a block. And that's what we know that he can put up nice numbers when he actually is able to stay on the court. With Zeller playing the 26 minutes, Spencer Hawes played 18 and Frank Kaminsky played 19, and not really too much to report from those guys. On to the Wizards. Garrett Temple was back in the starting lineup. He played 35 minutes, and of course, he had a career-high 21 points with 2 threes, 3 assists, and 2 steals. You can't predict what is going to happen in Bradley Beal's absence at the moment. One night it's going to be Sessions. One night it's going to be Gary Neal. One night it's going to be Garrett Temple. If you can know which night it's going to be, let me know in advance, because we can't work out what Whitman's going to do in terms of either starting guys or who he's going to give the shots to or who he's going to give the minutes to. It's basically been rotating through at the moment as to who is going to replace Beal's production. Otto Porter sat this one out with a thigh bruise, so Kelly Oubre made his first start, 8 points with a couple of threes and 5 rebounds in just 22 minutes. That did allow Dudley to play those 41 minutes. And Marcin Gortat had 18-6 with 2 blocks. The next game is the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks. Joakim Noah, 21-10 with 2 assists and a steal. You don't really pick up Joakim Noah for his points, but he went 9-16 from the field. That feels very anomalous. I don't reckon that's a real word. Is anomalous a word? Being of an anomaly? Anomalous? Let's go with it. That's not what's going to happen, but he's been playing pretty good minutes lately, racking up some rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, and as long as you don't need the points or you can take the hit in points, he's definitely worth owning. The upside, though, is a bit limited with him. Jimmy Butler, 12-2-5. Tony Snell went 7-6. And Doug McDermott played just 10 minutes, scoreless, but he had a knee issue that kept him out for the remainder of the game. We'll have to check back on his status, but he wasn't really a 12-team league guy as it was. Taj Gibson got the start, 6-2-2 in his 20 minutes. Onto the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony played 35 minutes and went 27-7. A pretty nice night from him. On Aaron Aflalo's hot shooting continued, 8 of 14 for Aflalo, 18 points, a 3, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear that he had no steals and no blocks as well. Not a big Aaron Aflalo fantasy fan at all, but while he's shooting 55% from the field, that means his scoring is going to go up, it means his threes are going to go up, and he pretty much has to be owned. Once that drops off, you can drop off. Kristaps Porzingis played 29 minutes and went 10 of 7 with a steal and a block, so he has definitely cooled down, but not cooled down enough that we don't have to own him or anything along those lines. The Robin Lopez minute allocation rollercoaster continued. 19 minutes for him, 8 and 3. Just can't own him in standard leagues. Can't do it because the minutes are just so sporadic. Lance Thomas's minutes aren't sporadic. Another 24 for him. He's basically 22 to 24 every night. 13 points with a couple of threes, a couple of assists, and a couple of steals. He's still more of a 14 team league guy, but you know, you can stream him in a 12 team league. You can use him for solid production in a DFS situation if you've got a lot of other high price guys around. Just have a look at him. Also, the Kevin Seraph and Kylo Quinn seesaw effect is in full swing here. It's either a Quinn, and then he's out of the rotation, and Seraphin's in, and then Seraphin's out, and we're back to Kylo Quinn. So at the moment, it's currently cock time. He's played 20 minutes, 4 points here, 10 rebounds, a steal, and a block, and he has tremendous fantasy upside. So does Seraphin, but he needs 30 minutes. Piss Robin Lopez off. Just get rid of him. Just play O'Quinn and Porzingis. Play 27 minutes for O'Quinn. You know that I like him. But he's not going to be someone that I'm looking to pick up in 12-team leagues because Derek Fisher's just been so unpredictable with what he does with these guys. Jose Calderon, just 5 points, but the 5 assists are relatively valuable. Not a must-own guy, I don't think, though. Indiana and Memphis. Paul George, 29-6 with a couple of four triples and a couple of steals and very inefficient shooting, 8 of 22, which has basically been his mantra throughout December. Another double-double from Jordan Hill, 10 and 13 with 2 steals. Mentioned him yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Pretty much a guy that you have to look at owning at the moment. As dumb as that sounds, rebounds are there. Double-doubles are coming relatively regularly. So if you're in a double-double league, there's something there for you. Good field goal percentage. He's a short-term guy to look at, but he's effective at the moment. Monte Ellis played 38 minutes, so obviously that knee is not bothering him. 13 points with a couple of steals. While Jan Mahimi only played 18 minutes in this one and was limited by foul. So that did allow Hill to get those extra minutes. But even when Mahimi plays his usual allotment, Hill is still a 23-minute-a-game guy, not necessarily a 28-minute guy. George Hill struggling, 8-5-2 with a steal in only 30 minutes. And CJ Miles, just not his night at all. 0 of 9 from the field for 0 points and 3 rebounds. It's going to happen with him. He is very streaky. He's likely to get injured at any point, but he could come out in the next game and have 25 points with 8 threes on 8 of 9 shooting or something along those lines. Don't be surprised if something like that happens. So he is a guy that still definitely has to be owned. Rod Stuckey also chipped in with 11 points in his 28 bench minutes. For the Grizzlies, Mike Conley, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists and 4 steals. A good night from him. Marc Gasol was great too, 19 and 12 with 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. And Matt Barnes, fantastic, 15 and 10, 2 steals, a block and 3 triples. I'll say it again, Matt Barnes has to be owned. I'm sure he's owned in all of your leagues and hopefully by all you guys. Jeff Green went 11 and 6 in 34 minutes. He's not enough for me in 12-team leagues, nor is Courtney Lee, who played 30 minutes and had 2 points and 4 rebounds. Yes, they'll have a couple of moments where you go, well, that's interesting, and maybe I'll look at them short-term, but overall, their game does not scream top 100 or anything along those lines. Still no Tony Allen. And Zach Randolph played 14 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds. 10-team leagues, you can definitely kick his ass away. And in a 12-team league, he was barely rosterable before the demotion. And if he's going to have nights, look, he'll play 29 minutes on some nights, but if there's going to be nights where he plays 14 and 22 and 18 minutes, forget about it. He's just not productive enough to justify holding on to. Yeah, things could change around, but with the way Barnes is playing, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Houston Rockets is the last game of the night. Chris Paul, a pretty good night here. 12 points only on 3 of 13 shooting, so you don't like that. But you do like the couple of threes, the 10 assists, and the big 7 steal night from Chris Paul. Blake went 22, 8, and 6. JJ Redick went 19 with 4 triples, and DeAndre Jordan went 16 and 11 with 4 blocks and 4 of 12 free throw shooting. And as usual, no one else did anything. Jamal Crawford actually played 31 minutes here, but scored 4 points, and the small forward mess just continues to be disgusting. Not much that we can deal with any of these guys on that wing rotation for the Clippers. For the Rockets, James Harden, 18, 5, and 11. Trevor Ariza, 17, 6, and 3. And what about the power forward? So we had Clint Capela start. He played 21 minutes and went 7 and 10 with a steal and 2 blocks. That's standard league value. Donatas Motiejunas played 20 minutes and went 10 and 3 with a steal. That's getting to that. He was also 4 of 5 from the field. Terrence Jones played 21 minutes, went 8 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 threes. That's not quite there. Capela is the guy that has the most value at the moment. Then it's Motiejunas and then Jones. But neither of them, or none of them, none of those three is a must-own player. I might say Capela is a must-own if you're punting free throws, because he went 3 of 8 again here from the free throw line. But the other two guys, Jones and Motiejunas, it's going to be hard to see them really extending themselves out to being worthwhile. And Ty Lawson's still serving his suspension, so Jason Terry got 17 minutes and had 7 points. And Pat Beverley had not a great night. 7 points. It did include 2 threes, so that was nice. 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block from Pat Bev. All right, now before we get into the daily fantasy stuff, didn't do this on Friday's show, so we're going to do it today. And let's look back at the last 2 weeks in fantasy basketball. Go through the top players in that time frame. Go through the rookies, the sophomores, under-owned players, buy low, sell high type of guys as well. Let's get to that right now. All right, the top 20 players for the last 2 weeks for head-to-head leagues are as follows. LeBron James has actually been the number one player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 29.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2.5 steals, a block on 53 and 83%. And that 83% is key because he was well down on free throws this year, and that's boosted him back up. So LeBron at number one, Klay Thompson at number two, averaging 5 triples a game across his last 5 games. Insanity. Also 0.8 steals and 1.2 blocks on 53% shooting. Steph comes in at 3, John Wall comes in at 4, James Harden comes in at 5, and then Rajon Rondo comes in at 6, averaging 12.8 points, half a 3, 7 rebounds, 12 assists, 2.5 steals on 54% shooting, and 79 from the free throw line. So just a massive turnaround this season from Rondo. Kevin Durant at 7, Draymond Green at 8, who's almost averaging a triple-double, 19, 10, and 7 with over 2 steals and over... He's almost at a triple-double and a triple-one. He has got the average of a triple-one, 1.5 threes, 2.3 steals, and 1.3 blocks, and then 19, 10, and 7. Andre Drummond comes in at 9, Kawhi Leonard is at 10, Chris Paul is at 11, CJ McCollum is at 12, averaging 22 points, 3 triples, and 2 steals a game. Definitely exceeded any of my expectations for him. Pau Gasol at 13, Russell Westbrook at 14, Eric Bledsoe 15, DeAndre Jordan 16, Isaiah Thomas 17, Greg Monroe 18, Paul George 19, and Karl Anthony Towns rounds up the top 20. He's averaging 17.7 points, 0.9 threes, 8 rebounds, 1.7 blocks on 58 and 86 as his percentages. So that's Towns. He has been obviously fairly incredible this season. Let's look at the top 5 rookies. Towns comes in at 20, Jahlil Okafor at 73, just giving you solid numbers, and that's probably where he's going to remain most of the season, to be honest. D'Angelo Russell comes in at 90, Kristaps Porzingis at 99.
Porzingis!
Boban Marjanovic is the 5th highest ranked rookie over the last 2 weeks, and he comes in ranked at 109. That's obviously inflated by that one massive game he had, but in the 3 games he's played in the last 2 weeks, he's at 10.3 points, 4 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks on 72% shooting. Talked about him a little bit before. He's really, really intriguing for deep leagues, but how's he going to get the minutes? There's so many other guys in front of him. His numbers and his per 36 numbers look great, but how's he going to get enough run to be useful? The top 5 sophomores, Lord Alfred Payton at 63, Clint Capela at 81, Nerlens Noel at 94, Joffrey Lavernier at 96, and Gary Harris rounds out the top 5 at 138. One guy I think is really important to note as a sell high player, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is ranked 32nd over the last 2 weeks, and he's been really good, and I've been waiting for him to break out, but I don't think he's a top 35 guy. He's averaging 18 points, 3.9 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 2.5 steals on 46% shooting. That shooting percentage will likely drop. That'll affect his scoring. I don't think that he's this guy moving forward, but if someone believes, now's a great time to sell because this probably will be his peak. As for a couple of buy low guys, a couple of point guards, Jordan Clarkson ranked 218th and George Hill ranked 236th. If you can acquire them for some garbage, I'd be all for doing it because I don't think they should be ranked in that spot for much longer. Inside the top 100 players, there's a handful of guys who are under 50% owned. Let's go through them and talk about what we should do with them. Jameer Nelson is at 47. Absolutely must own while Emmanuel Mudiay is out. That doesn't appear like it'll be too much longer, but Nelson's putting up great numbers in big minutes, and it wouldn't shock me to see him and Mudiay split minutes for at least the next few weeks. OJ Mayo at 60, he went back to the bench, so he was a must-own player before the benching, but he only played about 19 or 20 minutes in the last game. So if he's going to be getting those sort of minutes, that is not it's not conducive to fantasy value. Let's just keep an eye. Look, definitely own him, and don't drop him if you do own him, but let's wait and see what happens over the next 2 weeks. Matt Barnes at 62, spoke about him enough. Ray Felton at 66. The minutes dropped a little bit with Chandler Parsons getting up in the last game, but he's shown that he should be owned at this point. Dennis Schroeder at 71, not so convinced. He's played big in the last three games because Jeff Teague has had injuries and has been blowouts. He's only playing at the expense of Teague when Teague is forced to sit. So that means that to me that when Teague plays his 32 minutes, he's going to play 17 minutes or 18 minutes and not enough for fantasy value. Marcus Thornton at 72, not adding him anywhere. Bismack Biyombo at 78, great for boards and blocks, but it will likely be over for him in the next week. Alex Len at 80, I talked about him on yesterday's podcast. Love Alex Len, I think he has to be owned everywhere. Clint Capela at 81, Terrence Ross at 82. Like Biyombo, his role is going to decrease very shortly with Damari Carroll returning. Omri Caspi at 85, yeah, he's a solid add in 12-teamers. I'm not scrambling to get him for my team, but he's worth looking at. Gerald Green at 87, his value will drop when Tyler Johnson returns. Jeremy Lin at 88, already spoke about him, he's been great. Corey Brewer at 91, no thanks. John Lua at 92, yep, even with Markieff Morris making that ridiculous cameo in the game against the Pelicans, Lua still played 27 minutes, so he appears locked in until a trade happens. If a trade happens and someone replaces Lua, Hornacek seems to like him playing there, so I'm okay with that. Jared Dudley at 95, don't really see him holding that value. Joffrey Lavernier at 96 and Kylo Quinn at 97, definitely not guys that I'm looking to pick up in 12-team leagues across the board. Lavernier in a minute split with Nikola Jokic and Yusuf Nurkic will be back pretty soon to put a stiletto up Lavernier's value's ass, if that analogy made any sense at all. Pretty sure it didn't. Again, this weather is I'm a little toasty to say the least. Whew. And on that note, it is time for a quick break. I'm going to have myself a drink of water, and then we're going to be back to talk daily fantasy for Sunday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now, me and the sky.
Here we are back to talk about the seven games that are going to be occurring on Sunday. Remember, it's Sunday, so there are early games all over the place here. Check your contest to see who's playing in what games. There are only three games at the usual time. There's four early games. So bear that in mind. So there'll be early slate games, early slate tournaments and contests, late game tournaments, all day ones. Just make sure you have a look at what you're actually entering, because it's not as straightforward as what it might appear on other days. The first game up is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are favored by 1.5, and the total here is 203. Sergei Karasev has already been ruled out with an ankle problem, while Thomas Robinson is questionable with an illness. Bojan Bogdanovic at 3,700 is strictly a tournament play. The minutes are going to be there for him, as they have been. The production has been woeful, maybe he can get hot and he could be a 25-point player, but it's just I'm not relying upon him in cash games. He's in a massive, massive funk at the moment. Jarrett Jack, on the other hand, at 6,900, is averaging 41 points in his last three. No Shane Larkin again in this one. Definitely fine to roll Jarrett Jack out there. I think he's one of the better plays of the day. On the Timberwolves side, Ricky Rubio's at almost 40 points across his last three too. At 7,200, this is a pretty simple matchup for opposition point guards. He's in play for me. Gorgui Dieng at 4,900. Let's hope he continues to get minutes in those high 20s. He's averaging 26.8 in those last three games. And if he gives you that at 4,900, you're absolutely laughing. Brook Lopez at 7,700 has been down. Definitely hasn't been playing his best. This is not an easy matchup. I'm probably going to pass on him. And Joe Johnson at 5,300. That price is just way too high to use Joe Johnson. Zach LaVine inexplicably played 18 minutes in the last game. This is a really tasty matchup for him, but what's Sam Mitchell going to do? Probably the wrong thing. So I don't think we can really get LaVine into our cash games. Maybe in a tournament, because you know he can go drop 30 on people. But he's at 5,500, 30 might not even be... Oh, no, it's 30 is enough value. But still, the chance of it happening with Sam Mitchell stuffing us around is not all that high. 7,000 for Karl Anthony Towns. Not all that keen for him going up against Lopez. He could get in some foul trouble, I would say, against Brook. So 7,000 is not a great spot. And 7,000 is Thad Young's price as well. As good as he's been, he's still only averaging 29.8 across the last three, but he's got a really awesome floor, a 25-point minimum across his last five. So you're going to get between 25 and 30, almost guaranteed, from Thad Young, and that's not the worst thing in the world. 6,900 for Andrew Wiggins, an easier matchup for him. Definitely starting to play a little bit better. Don't hate using him at that salary. At 6,900, I'm okay with it. Kevin Martin, no thank you. Shabazz Muhammad, interesting. 3,800 for Shabazz. He put up 26 in the last game. But he could easily give you 18 points, 19 points. And at 3,800, that's basically where you need him to be. So don't completely discount Shabazz if you're looking for a cheap filler piece. The next game is the Portland Trail Blazers and the Miami Heat. Miami is favored by 5.5. The total is 193.5. Josh McRoberts, Tyler Johnson. We need to check the status of both of them. I would be surprised if McRoberts plays. Johnson got upgraded to questionable, so he might be ready to go. All it means is that if McRoberts is out, Udonis Haslem gets his minutes, and if Johnson's out, Gerald Green gets his minutes. So Green at 3,900, if there's going to be no Tyler Johnson, which it looks like it, I'm okay with using him. He's not going to do much apart from score, but if he can give you 23 points, 24 fantasy points, and at 3,900, that's plenty of value. Hassan Whiteside's minutes have been up lately, which is encouraging. 7,200 for him against an easy front court matchup. I like it. I also like Chris Bosh at 7,100. Now, his numbers haven't been great lately. 25.7 at 7,100 as an average for the last three is not fantastic, but there's a bit of a bump coming against Portland. Against the Portland front court, you do generally see a bit of a bump. We know he's a 40-point sort of upside player, and he could approach that in this one. Luol Deng at 4,600, been relatively consistent since coming back from his injury. 4,600 is not expensive. We could be getting 25 points out of him and feeling pretty comfortable about it, I think. Mason Plumlee at 5,200 has been in relatively good form. Not sure that I want to really pay up for him against Hassan Whiteside. And Dwayne Wade at 7,200, just not doing quite enough for me, so I'll leave him alone. Goran Dragic is doing a lot better. 5,700, I reckon you can comfortably deploy him in a lot of spots. There is a risk that he goes back to a turd burger like he was giving us early this season, but he's been a lot more consistent and a lot more productive of late. 7,500 for CJ McCollum. He's averaging 35 points a game. Miami does really shut down guards, though, so this is probably not the best place to use McCollum or to use Damian Lillard, because of the way that the Heat do defend guards and have restricted opposition guards' fantasy value. If I'm using any of those two, it's going to be McCollum, because I'm saving 1,400, and they're averaging basically the same score across their last three games. They both have 40-point upside, but I'd be saving an extra 1,400. But it's not the greatest of matchups for them in this one. Oh, Cleveland and Philadelphia. There's a lot of bloodbath potential here. The Cavs are favored by 16.5. The total is 197. We saw the last time the Cavs played the Magic, when they defeated them by about 40 points, that people just sat. So for as good as LeBron is, and $10,500 is not a big salary. He's got a 46-point average across his last three. There's a chance he plays less than 30 minutes in this game. Yeah, they're going to try and give him opportunity to rest as much as he can. This game could be over very quickly. So you have to be a little bit careful about using guys like LeBron and Kevin Love at 8,100. I'm not, as good as the matchup is, I'm not all that confident getting them out there. Kyrie Irving is also returning in this game, so it's going to be awesome to actually have him out there playing. I'm not using him for daily fantasy, but interesting to see how he integrates in this easier matchup with LeBron and Love and see how it all plays out. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to shake that rust off, obviously. Isaiah Cannon's getting big minutes. He's not really producing with him, though. 4,400 is not exciting enough for me. Nerlens Noel not doing enough, even though he is down to 5,500. Jahlil Okafor at 6,600. That price is still a little bit expensive. I don't really want to get too involved with him. In fact, I don't really want much to do with many of these guys in this game. Tony Roten, Kendall Marshall, we can leave them alone. Matthew Dellavedova at 4,400. Not with Kyrie returning. We're just not really sure what his role is going to entail at this point. Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns are up next. The Suns are favored by 6. The total here is 204 points. John Lua at 4,700. That feels like a real steal. I'm very happy getting him in that at that point. 5,300 for Alex Len. Cash games, it's risky because we could see an inexplicable move to Tyson Chandler, but Len has been on fire lately. Got 42.6 in the last game. Really good tournament option. Not a bad cash game play as well. Brandon Knight hasn't been delivering. 7,200. This is not a bad matchup for him, but I'd only want to throw it out in the tournament. Eric Bledsoe at 8,900. Don't love it for him. Don't love the matchup, but there's no other really high-priced guard. So if you've gone cheap in other areas and want to get him involved, I'm definitely okay with doing that. Giannis Antetokounmpo back in the starting lineup at 6,800. The 27.7 average is not doing it for me. OJ Mayo will leave him alone in an unsure bench role. Greg Monroe at 7,900, averaging set 37.8. The Suns do restrict opposition centers, so that makes me a little bit weary about using him. I reckon you're going to find better options on the board somewhere else. TJ Warren has played big minutes in the last couple of games, but Jeff Hornacek is low-key one of the coaches that we can't trust with rotations, basically. Apart from Knight and Bledsoe, we don't really know what to expect on most nights from a lot of these positions. Speaking of coaches we can't trust, the Atlanta Hawks and the Orlando Magic are up next. Lord Alfred Payton suffered a sprained ankle, but he is likely to play. Evan Fournier has a dislocated pinky, and he will play. And Jeff Teague has a sprained ankle, and he will play for the Atlanta Hawks. You would think... Well, there's no spread out yet, so we don't know exactly what Vegas thinks for this game. You would think that the Magic would be able to keep it relatively close against a Hawks team who's not really destroying people. So that means that we should hopefully get decent minutes from most of the Magic guys, but there's a big risk involved. If this game gets out of hand at all, Nick Vucevic, instead of playing 35 minutes, plays 28 minutes. Lord Alfred Payton, the same thing. Oladipo goes from 34 to 25, and it changes everything. Toby Harris goes from 35 to 24. The big dips that happen, very, very hard, in a cash game especially. In a tournament, Nick Vucevic at 7,500, this is a great matchup for him. 6,800 for Lord Alfred Payton, I like that as well, averaging almost 32 across his last three. Vucevic at 36, including these issues when Skiles goes, nah, sorry, you're just not playing anymore. Toby Harris averaging 34 at 6,400, dropped 48 in the last game, but there'll be times when he plays limited minutes. They're all great in tournaments, to hope that it works out, but in a cash game, reliability is not there. 6,200 for Jeff Teague, an easy matchup for point guards, but he hasn't been getting it done, so I'm not running with him. And Dennis Schroeder is averaging 34.8 points in the last three games, but I imagine he goes back and plays 19 to 20 minutes in this one, and that renders him pretty much ineffective. We can leave Victor Oladipo alone at 6,700 because he could have 24 to 34 minutes, and even at 6,700, only popped 30.8 up in 35 minutes in the last game. Not for me at this point. Kyle Korver at 4,600 has a little bit of intrigue. Not massive, but there's something to be said for getting him out there. Kent Bazemore at 5,500 I do like, though. He's averaging 29 across the last three. Had a bit of a quiet one in the last game, but the minutes appear to be definitely heading in his direction. Al Horford at 7,000. Good game from him in the last one, but not a great matchup for him. 8,300 for Paul Millsap, just not doing enough to justify that salary. As good as he's been, he's not doing enough to justify that sort of salary for daily fantasy setups. The Sacramento Kings and the Toronto Raptors are up next. The Raptors are favored by 5. The total is 207.5 points. James Johnson at 3,700. You could definitely do worse than rolling him out there, assuming we hear that he's going to start again. He put up 25.7 in his last start. He can accumulate good rebounds and great defensive numbers, and he legit has a 30-35 point upside because he can go out there and give you 5 steals, 5 blocks, 10 rebounds. That is sort of his upside, and that's very, very big in fantasy. I like him more as a tournament than a cash game, though. 4,600 for Bismack Biyombo. The minutes have been there for him. He's been rock solid, averaging 32.4. Happy rolling him out there in both formats of the DFS game. And Omri Caspi at less than 5,000, 4,900. I reckon he is definitely worth rolling out there as well. The minutes are clearly his. The production can be pretty decent from him also. Corey Joseph getting a lot of minutes, averaging 27 across his last 3 games, 9.8 points. Just can't get anything happening at all. Don't want to risk running him out there. Luis Scola at 4,500 is more of a tournament option because he'll play 27 minutes, then he'll play 18, and it's very up in the air. DeMarcus Cousins I like at 9,900, one of the best big price guys on the board. Rudy Gay at 7,200 is solid, and I like Kyle Lowry at 8,900 as well. I think that he has an opportunity to put up a really big line, and DeMar DeRozan's been killing teams. At 8,000, the salary's getting up there, but he's actually returning it in terms of his average. Over 40 a game in the last 3. Doesn't really look like slowing down. If you're looking for a high price shooting guard, he's the guy to have a look at. Terrence Ross is also worth throwing out there in a tournament. At 3,900, if he gets those 27 minutes off the bench or 25 that we saw in the last game, he can drop 25 or 26 points. Rajon Rondo is priced at 8,600. That's very expensive. Don't think I want to really spend up for him at that sort of salary. The last game of the night should provide a little bit of fantasy value. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Denver Nuggets. The Pelicans are favored by 1. The total is 206. Emmanuel Mudiay has already been ruled out for the Nuggets. Alexi Ajinsa has already been ruled out for the Pelicans. So 4,500 for Jameer Nelson looks very appealing. He's averaging 25.4 across the last 3 games. Dropped 32 in the last one. That salary's low. He's in a great spot here. The centers for Denver, Nikola Jokic at 4,100. Joffrey Lavernier at 4,000. Lavernier is averaging 5 more points a game across the last 3. Both guys project as being able to be in a really good situation here, but they're more of like in a tournament. You have Jokic in some lineups and Lavernier in some. I don't really think I necessarily want to trust them in cash games because one of them could get 27 minutes, other one could get 10. We don't know what Mike Malone is going to do. Jrue Holiday at 5,300 is a nice point guard option, and I like 10,400 for Anthony Davis as well. He should be a lock for over 40 points in this one. Will Barton at 5,900, the salary hasn't caught up to his production, averaging over 30 points in the last 3, 32 in his last 5 games. He should be more of a $6,500 player at the moment, I feel. Danilo Gallinari is not giving us the $6,800 worth of value, so I'd leave him alone. 3,700 for Gary Harris, yeah, go ahead in a tournament. He's been okay, but without being spectacular. Kenneth Faried, I can't bring myself to do it. And 7,000 for Tyreke Evans. Maybe just marginally too high, but not egregious enough where I go, we must avoid Tyreke Evans, especially against a Denver team where guys handling the ball are able to rack up numbers pretty freely. Ryan Anderson at 6,100. Inexplicably played 20 minutes in the last game. Don't know why. Not sure I'm really that keen on getting him out there, to be honest. 4,900 for Eric Gordon. His production has dropped since Tyreke returned, so there's probably a no-go from me there as well. And that is it. Let's bring up the daily fantasy plays for Sunday. Point guards, Jameer Nelson, 4,500. Michael Carter-Williams, that's a 6 there, 6,200. Kyle Lowry at 8,900. Shooting guards, Gerald Green, 3,900. Will Barton, 5,900. And Eric Bledsoe, 8,900. Small forwards, James Johnson, 3,700. Chris Middleton, 5,900. And LeBron James at 10,900. Power forwards, John Lua, 4,700. Chris Bosh, 7,100. And Anthony Davis, 10,400. And at center, we go with Bismack Biyombo at 4,600. Hassan Whiteside at 72. And DeMarcus Cousins rounds things out at 9,900. Guys, we are done for today's podcast. I am going to go and have a cold shower and hopefully recharge myself because it is just monstrously hot here at the moment. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster Twitter account, Bask Monster. Make sure you're following that for all the up-to-date news as it happens throughout the day. Check out basketballmonster.com if you're not a member over there. And leave a review. Let's try that again. Leave a review on iTunes. It helps tremendously to get the podcast right up in the rankings and for me to give something to show advertisers, which all helps to increase the quality of the show. We are done for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.